A father and his children often share the same characteristic or personality. In other cases, they are contrasted. We would see a disparity between how this father and his son comported themselves in situations. Let's look at the contrast between Jacob and his son Joseph and learn the importance of how to choose our responses to any adversity. We know that most 9-month pregnant women would be careful to avoid travel. But in Rachel's case, Jacob and his wives and children were on a continuing journey to the land God had promised Abraham. At this point, they were still not in a position to enjoy the stability of having a place to call home. Jacob and his family had left Bethel and were still a long way from Ephrath, when the time came for Rachel's baby to be born. She was having a rough time, but the woman who was helping her said, "Don't worry. It's a boy." Rachel was at the point of death, and right before dying, she said, "I'll name him Benoni." But Jacob called him Benjamin. Genesis 35:18. Just as a coin has a head and a tail side, every matter has a bright and a dark side as well. Rachel was overwhelmed with the pain of her own travail. Feeling that death was approaching, she gave the baby a name that reflected what she was feeling inside. As fate would have it, she died after giving birth to her baby boy. Her husband Jacob, though weeping the loss of the mother, could see good at the child's birth. In this, we might say that Jacob was optimistic, but Rachel was not. But as we can see, Jacob's troubles did not really start there. A while ago, while they were in Shechem, his daughter Dinah was raped by a Hivite prince. Without their father's knowledge, her enraged sibling brothers hatched a devious plan that enticed the prince, his father, and all the males in the country to get circumcised. The unsuspecting people complied, not knowing that without able males, they had rendered the entire country defenseless. On the third day, when the pain of the circumcision was at its worst, the brothers attacked and killed all the males in the country, including the rapist and his father. This distressed Jacob, and he told the masterminds, Simeon and Levi, "Ye have troubled me to make me to stink among the inhabitants of the land, among the Canaanites and the Perizzites, and I being few in number, they shall gather themselves together against me, and slay me, and I shall be destroyed, I and my house." Genesis 34:30. This time, it was Jacob's turn to be pessimistic. Let's look at Joseph, one of Jacob's sons. Joseph was Jacob's favorite son. Unwisely, he openly showed this favoritism to the other siblings. Driven by envy, Joseph's brothers conspired to kill him. But God prevented this, and his brothers changed their mind and instead sold Joseph as a slave to some passing Midianite merchants. Jacob grieved as he believed the lie the brothers reported that Joseph was killed by a wild beast. Joseph landed in Egypt as a slave to one of Pharaoh's officers, a captain of the guard. Fortuitously, years later, Jacob's entire family would be transacting business with the Egyptians to buy food from that country because of the drought. Unknown to them, too, Joseph was the very person they would be transacting business with. But they no longer recognized him in his Egyptian attire, appearance, and speech. But Joseph did. Joseph hatched a plan to bring his family to Egypt, but he did not reveal his true identity right away to his brothers. This was because he wanted to test them to see if they've changed through all those years. So he took his brother Simeon hostage to be able to see Benjamin, his brother by the same mother, Rachel. When they returned to Jacob and told him about this, he cried, "Me have ye bereaved of my children, Joseph is not, and Simeon is not, and you will take Benjamin away, all these things are against me." Genesis 42:36. But God's hand was in all these. After Joseph finally revealed his identity, he made this beautiful statement that should be the bedrock of our faith when it comes to forgiving others, or when we come under dire circumstances, "But as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good." Genesis 50:20. Now let's compare Joseph with what we see in Jacob's life. While Jacob was still single, he hustled his way through life to obtain the ends of his machinations. But in the latter part of his life, he had to reap what he had sown from his own children. The wonderful thing God teaches us in these is that as long as our lives are aligned to His will, and we are walking in His way, we can be assured that even if we are tempted to say, "Everything is against me," God will prove that He had been quietly working in and through circumstances to bring about His glorious purposes. How did Joseph fare better than his father, and what lessons can we take away from these two lives? Rachel and Jacob looked inward and saw nothing but trouble and distress. But if we take care to look outward and upward, like Joseph did, we can have the same confidence in God's sovereignty and power. While Joseph was in the pit that his brothers threw him into, yes, they did. See Genesis 37:23-24, how must he have felt? While the slave traders took him away and he saw his brothers, what might have been for him the last time, counting the money, what was it like? When he was thrown into jail after being falsely accused of rape, what thoughts crossed his mind? When the king's cupbearer got released from prison and totally forgot him, were his hopes dashed? Genesis 40:23. And all the while he was in Egypt, did he gradually lose the prospect of ever seeing his father and family again? What kept Joseph's hope alive through all these impossibly dismal situations? I think we can see the answer in this part of his story and how he framed a question for the seductress. Now the Ishmaelites had taken Joseph to Egypt and sold him to Potiphar, one of the king's officers, who was the captain of the palace guard. The Lord was with Joseph and made him successful. He lived in the house of his Egyptian master, who saw that the Lord was with Joseph and had made him successful in everything he did. Potiphar was pleased with him and made him his personal servant, so he put him in charge of his house and everything he owned. From then on, because of Joseph, the Lord blessed the household of the Egyptian and everything that he had in his house and in his fields. Potiphar turned over everything he had to the care of Joseph and did not concern himself with anything except the food he ate. Joseph was well built and good looking, and after a while his master's wife began to desire Joseph and asked him to go to bed with her. He refused and said to her, "Look, my master does not have to concern himself with anything in the house, because I am here. He has put me in charge of everything he has. I have as much authority in this house as he has, and he has not kept back anything from me except you. How then could I do such an immoral thing and sin against God?" Genesis 39:1-9. You see, Joseph was always aware that God was watching him. Jacob had taught Joseph well. But Jacob didn't practice what he preached. Because Joseph loved God, he wouldn't touch sin with a 10-foot pole. Because Joseph loved God, he became successful in everything he did. When Joseph saw God's goodness upon him, he understood that God was up to something good in his life. He couldn't see that right away because of the negative circumstances, but he shrugged them off, choosing to believe God for the good outcome. Joseph looked outward and upward. That is optimism at its highest. What is your situation? Friend, do you feel like you're in a quagmire? Does the thought of an afterlife bring you comfort? Or morbid fear? If you are unsure of your eternal destiny, now is the time to make your life right with God. You see, all human beings, me included, are sinners. If you would honestly assess yourself right now, you probably have lied to someone. Or taken something that did not belong to you. You might have looked at someone with lust in your heart. Or hated someone and wishing him slash her evil. Or used God's name as a cuss word. If so, that makes you a lying thief, an adulterer, a murderer, and a blasphemer. I think you know where such kinds of people end up already. But God sent Jesus to earth on a rescue mission. That's what it says in John 3:16. For God so loved the world, that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. All who turn to God in humble repentance, coming back to the Creator and ask for forgiveness, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who gave his life on the cross as payment for sin, who rose again the third day, ascended to heaven and is coming back to take all his believers with him to heaven, you can receive forgiveness for your sins and be restored into a relationship with God. All you need to do is repent, ask him to forgive you, and entrust your present and future to Jesus Christ. If you are sincere, the Bible says you are saved and made as new again. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will not be put to shame. Romans 10:9-11. You can stop being ashamed of what you've made out of your life. Guilt does not have to haunt you until your dying day. Accept the offer from Jesus and the receipt his gift of eternal life today. Hurry. This offer is good only until the rapture. If you've made a decision to believe in Jesus, let me know. I wish to help you grow in your new faith in the God of the Bible whose promises never fail. Are you blessed with this issue? Well, bless others with it, too. Click on the follow button for more issues like this. Until then, God bless you.